Hi, hi, we're back again with another New Zealand woman in business who's going to share with us her real highlights. And we do know now that the highlights can often be lowlights, but I really give a shit. Can I say that? I can say it. This might not be able to boost this post, but I really care that you guys actually hear from women in business who can give you the reality check. And so I can't wait to introduce you to someone who is personally a friend of mine, who's become a friend of mine, but someone who I admire hugely, and I know that her imposter would be screaming right now, is Irene Bennett from, well, you can tell us where you're from, but welcome, babe.
Thanks, Nat. So I have a business called Admin Army, and we provide bookkeeping and virtual assistant services to businesses all over New Zealand.
Do you know what I love about you? And I was thinking about your journey, actually. Remember when we first spoke together on the phone and you jumped on a strategy session to look at working with me, and you were just starting out? How many years ago was that? I was trying to think about how many years ago that was.
So I think we had that call in, like, it would have been January or February 2017. So I'd been for 3 or 4 months at that point in time.
You can tell that Irene's all about numbers because she knew the month and the year. Like, seriously, that's cool. And your journey from here to now is, honestly, it's really massive. Like, it's massively successful. And one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on is because we know tall poppy syndrome, in New Zealand in particular, is a really big thing, right? If you're doing well, you feel like you can't talk about it. And with tall poppy comes a little bit of imposter. So I'd love for you to give everyone, take us from that 3 to 4 months when you first started, and I want you to give us your journey. Like, what's it been like?
So I think one thing that was always clear for me when I set up Admin Army was that I wasn't just building like a freelance business for me to work in by myself. It was always about creating something bigger. Mm-hmm. And so that's always been the goal that I've been working towards right from day one. So right in the early days, I was, as soon as I could, really looking to bring people into my team and not be doing as much of the client, well, not be doing all of the client work myself. And it was at about that 18-month point that I was able to bring someone into a role that was full-time. So that was kind of it was the first exciting milestone for me. And probably about 3 or 4 months after that, my husband actually came into the business full-time as well. So we got it to the point in a couple of year time period where it was able to financially support both of us.
That's huge.
Yeah, in our lifestyle. And then from there, it's just been a matter of bringing in additional team members and continuing to grow and refine our offering. And last year, we were awarded the Institute of Certified New Zealand Bookkeepers Bookkeeping Business of the Year Award, which I, as you'll remember, Nat, I actually didn't want to apply for.
Why is that, Irene? Tell us quickly why that is.
Imposter syndrome, 100%, like the whole, I'm not good enough, who am I to be applying, you know, who am I and who is Admin Army to be applying for this prestigious award against, you know, some other great businesses that I was aware of in the industry, and really feeling like as a newcomer, like that there was, like that we weren't good enough yet, but actually, obviously, based on the results that we were able to present in the award entry, we were good enough because we took the award out, so...
You knocked it off.
We did. And I was completely surprised. I did not expect to take that award at all. And so also last year, around about that same time, we were approached by another business who were looking to grow and expand kind of their offering and diversify by bringing in a bookkeeping business into the fold. And at the point in time where Streamline got in touch with me, it certainly wasn't on my radar at all. I had kind of an exit strategy that was, you know, 5 years down the track type thing that didn't look at all like, you know, growing and joining with another business. So there was a whole lot of mindset work that came along with that as I explored the opportunity, because I'm really big on, you know, you have to see, when things come out of the woodwork, you really have to, you know, give them space to see if they fit or not, rather than writing them off because it's not what you think at this point in time where you want your business to go. So
no, yeah, I was about to go, and I was like, no, you're telling us your journey, stay in there, that's awesome. Yeah, okay, so then, cool. Yeah.
So then after, effectively what happened from there was, you know, we started dating, and it really is like you start dating and then you get engaged, and we decided that that was the right fit for the business. And for me, it really, even just exploring the opportunity opened my eyes to the huge amount of opportunity that there was for me to grow Admin Army beyond what I thought it was going to be. And so for me, it made sense to merge with Streamline and to come into the fold. They traditionally have been focusing on kind of the big corporate end of town. They were looking for a brand that could speak to the small business end of town because they know how vital small business is to the economy. And they want to be able to support small business as well. Where was I going with that? It was a whole dating kind of, you know, you get engaged and get married and you decide that you merge and then you have to tell everybody about it.
Yeah.
And like that was when imposter syndrome really hit, because it was so different to what other people were, you know, what other people are doing in the industry and in their businesses. But actually that's for me what I really like about it, because I don't want to have a business that's the same as every other business that's out there either.
And actually, that's one thing that's always stood you apart for me, is that you didn't just want to go and be another offer, just another virtual assistant agency or just services and bookkeeping and accounting and admin, that you wanted to do it differently. You've always been that kind of forward thinker. You know, for me, watching your growth, you know, like what, in 3 years from where you were to where you are now, it's been huge. So we've got to celebrate that success for you, because you're a very driven young lady. You're very driven, right? It's amazing. I would love to know, though, what have been some of, you know, your, like the lowlights, like what, it's not just like you've, you know, woken up and got yourself there. What are some things you've had to go through that you're like, you know what, I really want people to know these things so that they can normalize it if it's in their journey? Bit of road rage and over.
Yeah, well, from time to time there has been road rage. That has been a low light. I think, you know, there is a huge feeling of aloneness when you're in your business. And yeah. Even you can have the best support in the world, you know, like you can be working with a coach like UNet, you can have, you know, supportive family, supportive friends, but there's a lot of time that you spend feeling like no one really understands what you're going through, because no one is as committed to your business as you are and feels it as intuitively. Like to me, I see my business as kind of like my little baby, and so when something happens in Admin Army, like it breaks my heart, like my child is, there's something wrong with my child. And probably one of the other things is I remember when we had a call, I think it was at the start of last year, and I was talking to you about how I really felt like I was stuck on the hamster wheel.
Yeah.
And so it was just, you know, rinse and repeat, and I really realized that at that point in time something had to change and I had to do something differently, otherwise I was going to be doing the same thing over and over forever. And that's when you know, we started doing a lot of mindset work together to really change the way I was looking at situations, and that made a really big difference, like both to me personally but also to Admin Army, because I think that's where all of the opportunities that came about last year really stemmed from, that I was doing that mindset work at the start of the year.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you speak about the aloneness, and actually, because the type of one that I attract and love working with are high achievers, which is just a very polite name for perfectionist. And perfectionists, we have incredible traits, but our want for control can actually stop that business growth, right? Or the vision, or we try and manipulate how we want it to unfold. And so when it comes in differently, we just keep raising that bar up, and we never kind of, you know, take stock of what's in front of us. And so being able to do that mindset work with you, you were really able to see and let go of some of that. And now you're like, what, the CEO of this global, right? That's Streamline's going. It's a global brand. Like, that's nothing to be sneezed at. And I love how you allude to that. Strategy doesn't get you to those places. It's reaching out for help and working, you know, working on your mindset. I'd love for you to talk about, you know, you had a really big shit time. I've sworn twice on my Zoom. Stop it, Nat. You know, when your dad passed away, and I would love for you to just share with people how, you know, what it was like to be running. Like, your business was, you know, gunning. It was going hell for leather. There was so much things happening, and it happened. I'd love for you just to talk about it, and I appreciate that you're willing to do this, because I know there's a lot of people who are going to get a lot out of hearing how you coped and didn't cope with it, and how you're on the other side.
Yeah. So I think I would say the one thing that the greatest realization that I had at that point in time was things no one tells you about when you set up your own business, that things will happen in your life that you don't have control of, and your business just has to keep ticking over. That was one of the things that I struggled with the most at that time, was all I wanted to do was go and find a cave to crawl into and disappear. Yeah. But there's not really, when it's your own business, there's not really such a thing as bereavement leave, or, you know, the ability to take 3 weeks out to process what life has thrown you. Things keep happening. And firstly, I just want to say, like, I was incredibly grateful for my team during that time, because I was absolutely far more mentally checked out than I would normally like to be, for understandable reasons.
Yeah.
And things did keep ticking over. But, you know, anytime your focus shifts somewhere else, like, there is inevitably a flow-on impact to your business. So you mentioned earlier, Nat, like, I'm very numbers-focused. I'm very goal-driven. And so what happened was my focus shifted away from sales, and what happened? Sales fell off the edge of a cliff. And so I spent a whole lot of time beating myself up over that. But actually, I now that I can look back on it, like, I should have been much kinder to myself than I was over that time. It's really easy to try and hold yourself up to these ideals of how you should act in certain situations, or how you should be. What I wanted from myself was some sort of robot-like manner, but I'm a human, I'm not a robot, and actually the emotions that I was feeling and the grief that I had to deal with is actually what makes me who I am, and that's what draws our clients to us as well.
Oh, that's so lovely. I love that. I love the retrospectiveness you've got from it, and just the vulnerability of, like you just said, because us high achievers, we can be quite robotic or non-emotive to things, because we're like, we've got a goal, man. We've got a head there. It doesn't matter what comes in. But, you know, death can, you know, it knocks you off the perch, right? But you're freaking back on there. You're back on there and going for it. Let's talk some more about, why is it that you've had this success so quickly, right? The cool thing is you're not a 6 week overnight success, right? It's taken some freaking blood, sweat and tears and money. But I want to know, like, why are you successful and someone else who started at the same time in a similar place isn't? What is your thoughts around that?
Stubbornness.
Yes. Actually, hell yeah. Yeah, stubborn.
Yeah. So to me, there was no other option but success, and a lot of that was about, not about any external factors, like, but purely about proving to myself that I could. And so my greatest competition is myself, and so I'm not really paying too much attention to what else is going on in my industries. I'm aware of it, but actually I'm always just trying to do better than what I did yesterday or last week or last month. Having the staying as much as possible in the long-term strategy mindset, so knowing what your goals are and what you're working towards, and actually when you are really clear on those, I think that you make decisions subconsciously based on whether or not things are going to impact those goals that you're aiming towards. So a question that I like to ask myself with every question in it, with every answer, is, what would I do if success was inevitable? Yes. And so I actively always try to err on the side of choosing the answer that I would choose if I knew success was inevitable, because that mindset and that approach is going to be what pushes me into that success.
Yeah, I love that. I love the flip of that, you know, because sometimes we get brought up with kids that being stubborn is a bad trait, you know, whereas actually being stubborn and staying in the game is actually what business needs. So you're naturally a bit of a rebel, in a nice way, I mean that. And I mean it like, as in terms of like thought leadership, when your industry was zigging, you wanted to zag, you wanted to do things differently. And I love that. I think that's really important. There's more people who actually say what they want to say. And if it's against their industry standard or the mainstream, which is for me, calling out social media highlight reels and going, hey, actually, what is it really like? I'd love for you to know, but what's been a downside to going against what we think is the norm or the sheep or the, I haven't called you guys sheep, but you get what I mean.
I think, you alluded to it earlier with the tall poppy syndrome thing. So the more you say things that are opposite to potentially how other people in your industry are acting, the more you stand out. Yeah. And that's not always perceived in a positive light, especially by other people in your industry. I've been really fortunate. Personally, at least to my face, I've never had anything but positive feedback and influence from other people in my industry, but I'm sure that there are absolutely people in my industry that I drive nuts, because you can't be the right person for everyone, right? And so there'll be people who will see me out there saying things, and it must just be like, you know, fingernails on a blackboard to them, and that's cool because there's people out there like that for me too.
So kind of like stay in your lane and say what you want to say. Tell me a little bit about money mindset, babe. How important is it to know what money mindset is, and anything about, you know, how you deal with money?
So money mindset is a huge thing. I think we spend a lot of time, Nat, talking about my inner squirrel who wants to just, you know, save all my acorns for a rainy day, and you know, countless memes sent between us to
hilarious ones.
And I think, you know, the analogy that you shared around the tide going in and the tide coming out, like that was a big deal. You know, that was a big catalyst for change for me in terms of my money mindset. And now whenever I feel like the tide is going out, I consciously flip it and think about that's just so that the tide can come back in. And so I'm a big believer in investing in your business and investing in yourself, because it's going to drive you forward. It's really easy to spend a lot of time going, oh no, I don't want to buy that course, or I don't want to, or like the perfect example, like investing in coaching with you.
Yeah.
So I really, I really saw that from a perspective of investing and how I can grow myself and grow the business, rather than, oh my gosh, it's that much money that's I'm not going to have in the business each month. I saw it as like, I'm going to take that and I'm going to turn it into more money because of how because of what I will get out of that investment.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So what do you think, if you could tell someone, you know, because the cool thing is with this series is we're going to be helping a lot of people through your story and what you've been experiencing, someone who also has a strong imposter, and so imposter syndrome is just, you know, you're feeling like a fraud or who am I? What's some advice you think that, that has worked for you, or you'd like for someone to hear really? And in particular, babe, people who are actually on the trajectory of going really well, and they, you know, and we both know that sabotage can knock you off that trajectory and you're freaking down the bottom again. So for the women who are like, you know what, I'm doing really well, but my imposter's stepping in.
I think it's just rewiring your brain to stop looking for the reasons why you're not good enough.
Yeah.
And actually just reminding yourself that you are not just good enough, but you are enough. Mm. Like, but also you hold the keys to be able to achieve anything. Like, you know, we live in a universe where anything is possible, as long as you put, you know, energy and effort into it. And so if you're doing those things, success is inevitable and it will come to you.
Oh, that's awesome. Because what I love about you is you're not Auckland-based, you're not big city-based, you've grown all this and done all this from the sunny, I was going to say sunny Hawke's Bay, and I'm really hoping I'm right.
Yeah, okay.
I was like, what if I say it? She's like, dude, yeah, I'm like Gisborne. You know, and I think that's what I love about you is you don't have, you know, a lot of people be like, yeah, but I'm not in a big city. It's like, it doesn't actually, those things don't matter in terms of what you can grow. And I think what I really appreciate your journey with at the moment with merging with Streamline and being on the board, it's heavily male-based. You know, and we've had discussions before where I'm like, if you're invited to go to the table, Irene, go to the table and take a seat and have something to say. Because, you know, otherwise they wouldn't have wanted to merge with you. So to tell us what it's been like to step into that arena.
It's been really interesting, especially when you're joining, well, in my instance, like joining an existing board who are well established, they know each other really well, they've known each other for years, and being kind of the fresh, you know, person coming into that. It was really intimidating to start with, and especially when, you know, people in that board have they're well known in business circles, and you know, like, again, imposter syndrome, who am I to be coming and sitting on a board here? One of the things I chose to grab hold of is that there's beauty in diversity. So the fact that I could bring a fresh perspective as a female to that existing board, and a fresh way of looking at things.
That's awesome.
Because, you know, as I said, they've traditionally focused on corporate business, like I was also able to come and be the voice of small business and bring that fresh perspective as well. So not just, you know, gender-based, but I took the time to realise that there were a number of areas where I brought value, where it was so easy to, you know, on the face of it, write myself off as not having value to bring.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well done. Because like you said, it could easily go, you know, fall into a victim of, oh, what have I got to say? I've got nothing to say, and kind of, you know, not enjoy those moments. So for someone like you, that sounds like I'm going to be saying something mean, but, you know, high achievers have a sense of control, right? You like to control things, like the numbers, but also the doing of the work. So how has it been for you to delegate a lot of your doing work? And what's some advice for people who actually do need Admin Army to help with, but they also have a little bit of control? Like, what if someone else can't do it as good as me? Like, where do you want to talk about in that space?
So first up, I just want to acknowledge I am the world's biggest control freak.
I'm not going to deny that for you, okay?
and so I think for me, like, it's you know, I think there were tasks in my business that I was like, you will take those tasks out of my cold dead hands, that I will hold them. Probably the best example I can give is actually Admin Army's invoicing itself. So and part of the reason I didn't want to give that task up is because I and one of the few people who actually really enjoys the process of invoicing. Like, that's the one place that my imposter syndrome has never come into play. because I think it's because I made a game out of it, and because it was actually my opportunity to stop and check to see if I sold more than I'd sold the month before. So it's all about whatever spin you put on it. But so it was a big deal for me to hand that over to people. And the advice I would give to anyone, if you've got, like, I'm sure a lot of people potentially have a task that they're specifically thinking of in their business right now, that task, so there were a few things in terms of invoicing. I had a conversation that was like, well, you know, my role was now CEO. If you're the CEO, is invoicing a role that the CEO in a business actually undertakes? Is that, you know, is that task appropriate for the level that you're meant to be operating at? So for me, it was like, okay, I want to embrace being a CEO, so I'm going to hand that task over. And secondly, like, don't be afraid to do it incrementally.
Yeah, that's good.
So, you know, the first month I did it alongside someone else, and that I got them to kind of write a standard operating procedure for doing out invoicing alongside that. The second month, I got them to draft all the invoices themselves, and I checked them all over my before they were all sent out to make sure I was happy with them. The third month, I just reviewed the time that was about to be invoiced out to people to make sure it was all correct, and just let them go for it. So it was kind of a 6 month process where I was just incrementally letting go of a bit every month to make sure that it was still being done to my standard. And it's the most hilarious thing that I was worried about it being done to my standard, when actually those are the types of tasks that we do for clients on a daily basis. But for some reason, like in my head, still no one could do Admin Army's invoicing as well as I could.
It's so ironic, hey, but I also believe that what we're experts in, we're mastering for ourselves. So it's actually kind of not surprising that you felt like that. For anyone listening, and particularly startups right now, what's some advice you'd love to give to a Kiwi startup? What do you want to say to them?
Aim for the stars. Like, you know, pick your big, hairy, audacious goal. And I know, you talk a lot now about, you know, stepping it down and making that achievable. And it's not that, but like, you know, what's your dream? Where would you like to see things in 5 or 10 years time? And don't beat yourself up for not achieving that, you know, 3 months down the track, but actually have that as your North Star that guides you in your decisions, because that ultimately, knowing where you're going, is what will drive your success.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that for you. You really are the epitome of that for me, in terms of like, if not me, then who? Like, I want to have a big dream and a vision and go for it. That's actually what you've done. So what about a woman in business who's like, you know, let's say 3 to 4 years in, like yourself right now?
Dream bigger. Yeah. I think, you know, I thought I was doing pretty well kind of mid last year when we won the award. But I hadn't even stopped to consider what other opportunities there might be out there, or how things could look differently. And then it wasn't until the Streamline opportunity that it really opened my eyes up to a whole lot of additional opportunities or approaches that I could take in business and how I could do things differently. So I think it's easy to become, to get into a fixed mindset and not to explore what other opportunities there could be out there.
And stay quite safe, hey? Safe in that kind of mindset where you're not going to fail because you know the space.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, and the final thing, what would the future you say to you right now?
That is a hard one.
Stuff, you need to pretend it's glitching and the Zoom's broken.
I actually think they would say, take more time to stop and smell the roses.
Yeah.
Work is cool, and it's good to work hard, but actually it's also well, you do a better job when you're not working all the time, right?
It's really important for people to hear, babe, because we think that if I work, you know, 10 hours a day, every day, it's going to make me more successful. And that's not truthful, right?
Yeah. It's so important to have margin time and space away from, your business headspace, where your creative brain can look at things differently and come up with different approaches.
And you can share with the audience what your new hobby is, where you guys find creation right now.
Barbecue.
I loved it when you put that post up of the new barbecue, like, I've got a new hobby. I was like, oh, that's a delicious hobby to have.
It really is.
Awesome, babe. I really appreciate you jumping on and sharing your incredible journey, because, you know, we really want to have people to aspire to and have, you know, it's that whole world have gone before us and forged the path ahead. So I really appreciate you jumping on and sharing that today.
It's my pleasure, Nat.
No worries. Bye, everyone. Hey, we did that funny thing where you wave on a Zoom, and you know how you, like, if we were together, we wouldn't wave at each other.
It's still recording.
I know. That was the one.